Welcome to Christ Today. And Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. We ask for your understanding and your protection from that which is not of you. There is so much going on around us in the world. There's things with our personal situations, just things in the world, all sorts of things. There have been fires, forest fires lately nearby, and some of them have started by lightning. Some of them have started by arson, and some of them by accident, like a truck dragging a chain, and that causes sparks and makes a fire. There's so many things going around us in life. There are weather incidents also. Like last month, you know, there was a heat wave here in California, in Fresno and Tulare counties. There was 4,000 to 6,000 cattle that died. Cattle because of the heat. The month before that, there was a freak snowstorm in Idaho and Oregon. Several sheds full of onions froze and happened to have gotten contaminated with a worm. And that spread to the nearby fields. And the results were that 100 million pounds of onions had to be destroyed. Oh, there are other weather situations also. And in recent winters, we have had incidences also of surprising record snowfalls or surprising record colds, cold spells, even in unusual areas. In the Middle East, for instance, and worldwide, there have been floods. Floods! And freezing weather, all going on this spring. Yes, there has been lots of things related to the weather going on. These things are happening. How can we help but wonder what's going on? Why are these events occurring? What's going on in the world? There's lots of answers. Everybody seems to prefer one thing or the other. There are a few people who say it is because of sinfulness in the world. And therefore we must repent, turn from our sin and live righteously. And there are others who say it's just the pattern of the earth. There are always unusual patterns. There are solar minimums, and sometimes there are solar maximums. These cycles go on, and they last for a number of years or decades. There are people who see that there is a cold pattern going on where it will continue until 2031. There's people who say lots of things. How do we judge what is correct and what is not correct? Well, it's a hard decision to figure out. There's a lot of evidence, and we have to figure out how to look at it. And I get a few people who from time to time say in some roundabout way, "John, you could be a little more positive about your thinking." And, you know, I know that's true, but there's all sorts of interesting things going on. All sorts. And I don't know the real answer. I know we shouldn't look at these things fearfully, we should not be that concerned in that fearful sort of a way. No, but we can always have some preparations. After all, preparations displace fear, and we should not fear. I have to urge everyone to have some personal preparations. And what are they? Well, that's something that each one of us decides for our very own selves. There really aren't answers to that question. There's just questions, and you have to figure out what you want to do. But fear is not good. I remember Winston Churchill, well, a recording of Winston Churchill. He was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. And in this one address, where he was addressing the British people, he had spoken these famous words, that there is nothing to fear but fear itself. And oh, that is so true. We don't have anything to fear but fear itself. If there's something that is a situation right in front of us, well, we deal with it. And that reminds me of a story that I have about when I was 15 years old. That was the first time that my parents let me go camping alone overnight. And it was in the forest. And everything was going well. I'd done this sort of things before. And on that one evening, oh, it was about 6 or 7 o'clock. And across the way, I heard 6 or 8 coyotes howling as they chased an animal, probably a deer, right across the mountain. So this was like a mile away, well, half a mile down to the river, half a mile back up, and that's where those coyotes were howling and howling and barking and yapping, and as they were chasing their prey. So something was going on, and it was exciting. And, you know, I heard those coyotes howling, and I howled right back at them. And then they howled back at me, and I howled back at them. And then I realized, uh-oh, they know where I am. And then fear gripped me. That was interesting. I had about 10 minutes of fear where I was just concerned because now they knew where I was. They could come get me. And I realized that that fear was out of place. There was no reason to fear. There was nothing in front of me that to be fearful about. So it took me 10 minutes to think through this process and realize there was no danger. I was not in danger, and if there was a danger, I could handle it. But just for those 10 minutes, it was a very interesting experience to feel fear, because those coyotes, now they knew where I was. Oh, that was quite an experience, I remember. Yes. So back to Winston Churchill. He was assuring the British people with those words that there was nothing to fear but fear itself. And I could relate to that. So there is another potential here, and that is when you actually recognize danger, there is danger sometimes, and we have to be prepared for it. That's what I talk about sometimes on this show. I talk about your just-in-case preparations for that unknown situation. Well, we need to not dwell in fear, that is for sure. We need to remember joy and have that joy in our heart, because that's so very true. And with the birth of Jesus Christ, just think, God sent his angels to talk to the shepherds, and he gave them a message of great joy to all people. That was in Luke, the second chapter of Luke, where he talked about those angels coming in, and having a message of great joy. We should remember that joy. Yes, we should. The joy is so very important, and it doesn't mean that we ignore other things. Why, sometimes it is the right thing to do, to have other concerns. Not fear, but concerns. And if those concerns are about what might happen, well, we do something about preparedness. It's not that difficult a question. We just have to think, like I say, think, plan, and do. So there's many things in life that go on, and there's many things that challenge us. And so what do? We do the best we can. We consider things, and then we do something. Yep, and don't forget that we are to have that childlike understanding. The Bible talks about us being as children. And what does that mean? Well, there are different aspects of being a child. Some of the way children are they easily forgive a person, and that's one of those things that the heart of a child does. We can find it easy to forgive people too. Sometimes we have to work on it, but that is, I see, what we are called to do. Forgive a person, yes, just like a child would easily forgive a hurt that was done to them. We have a lot to learn. So we do want to have that light of Jesus Christ in the world, and we want that light around us. We want to be able to shine the light of Christ in the darkness of the world, because there are dark powers and principalities. Oh, I think of Proverbs 22. In Proverbs 22, there is a wise man who sees trouble coming. And what does he do? He gets out of the way. And it says, but the simple keep going, and they get, they get the consequences of that trouble. It's said a little bit different in different Bibles, but that's the idea. So, yeah, we should be aware of the trouble. Focus on the good, but be aware of the things that are not good. There are difficult things that happen in the world. There's a whole lot of difficult things. And I've seen quite a few myself, sometimes for my own personal self and sometimes for people around me. And sometimes you just see them or read about them. There are plenty of things that are not good in the world, but we want to have an orientation towards the goodness of God. No matter what the situation in front of us, there can still be natural disasters. They can be political circumstances or complexities. There can be personal choices that make difficult situations occur. But we do want to be focused on the good, on the light of Christ. Yep. Sure, remember the difficult things. Remember the things that hurt. But you don't want to have that be your focus. You want to have the focus of God's light in your heart. Now, each of us recognize the problems that we have had. We recognize problems that we have had and might have in the future. All these things. So what do? Well, we look at them and we see what we can do to make the problems smaller that just might happen. One of those things I see is that we do get prepared in ways that we see as an individual person, because each person sees things differently. And then as a community, as a preferably Christian community, we can meet together and each have things that are our strong points and our weak points, and have the help of other people fill in the weak points that each of us has. That's what I think we do, and that's what I think the times of difficulty are all about, is bringing us together, putting us in a position where we need each other. Yeah, not like life today where we can go about with all our modern conveniences and we think we don't need anybody. But Really? We do. We do. We need that human contact. We need that human communication. And that's something we can always pay attention to as an important item. Yeah. There's all sorts of troubles that there could be. We don't need to focus on them, but it's always good to pay attention. I think about the different scientists of years gone by, or even in recent years. There's ones who talk about the sun heating up, or going through a sun cycle, I should say. It heats up, cools down, heats up, cools down. And right now, there are plenty of scientists who say that we are in the time of a solar minimum. Now, there's different scientific observations about this, and there's different people who think differently about what it is and when it'll happen. There's people who say 2020 it'll happen at its maximum. There's other people who say 2031 or even 2039. And there's a lot of variables in what actually happens. And I bring these things up because I think it's just fine to look at the what if and then make some observations. Now, that solar minimum is one of those things that kind of got my attention because I remember from, 25 years ago, something like that, maybe it was 20, but right in that time frame, I heard about a study from the Army War College, and they talked about each decade as having characteristics, and those characteristics included like the 1930s, no, 2030s, being a decade of famine, and the 2040s being a decade of disease. I never could understand how they came to those conclusions, but it wasn't just obvious in the reports that I heard about. But if you add this concept of the solar minimum and how long it would last, which is an unknown situation, that made the possibility make sense. Because with the solar minimum, we would have less heat on the earth, less growing, the growing cycle of our food, and all these things would contribute to the human condition being deteriorated with our food and with our health. So it made me think about those things. There's lots to think about, and there's lots of possibilities. It doesn't mean I know what's going to happen. No, I've never made that claim. All I can see is possibilities, and the possibilities grow and grow to show themselves to be involving some element of difficulty. So that's what I talk about. I don't want people to hurt. I want people to be prepared so that they don't hurt. And if there's things going on, yes, I want to talk about them. You would probably be surprised if you looked at how many people are talking about 2018 being a year in which a trigger event occurs, and there is all sorts of speculation about what it means and who has been talking about this for how long. Why, there's plenty of people who talk about it, and there's people who have connections to, well, a privileged elite. And so they talk about things happening too. So with that, and with the indicators that are going on, no, it's not the same as knowledge. They're just indicators. Indicators that make common sense, and indicators that replicate historical patterns. There's a lot of people who are seeing these indicators and historical patterns, and there are people who recognize the position of Bible prophecy in conjunction with these things. So the idea that I'm trying to convey is there really is possibilities of something happening that's not that good. And I don't know what it is, but I see lots of possibilities, and so do plenty of other people. And so I bring this message of our need to prepare. Prepare for what? Well, this is for you to think about. This is for you to plan about. And this is for you to do something about. Think, plan, and do. Your ideas are going to be the ones that are important, not mine. I can talk about things, but you have to see the importance of them. There's all sorts of things that just might happen. Why, I look back even, well, some decades, and I remember hearing, you hear these things on recordings. And so Prince Philip was once saying that he would like to die and come back as a virus and wipe out a large percentage of the population, which was a virus upon the earth. There's people who really do have these ideas. And I remember this another recording of Jacques Cousteau saying that in order to make the earth a sustainable planet, there are just too many people. And 200,000 people a day had to be eliminated. That was good old Jacques Cousteau. He did so many beautiful things, but he had that idea. He saw that there was a difficulty that humanity was putting upon the earth, and his solution was to have less of humanity. Well, there's lots of things we can learn. There's lots of things we can do. There are people that do have the intention to eliminate a large percentage of humanity. There's people who want to control humanity and tell them just what to do. Tell us just what to do. Yeah, there's lots of levels that these things take place on. And while we don't know the answers, we do know there's a direction. We know it from people, and we know it from the spiritual world, because we know we have an enemy, and that enemy is Satan. And he has a number of people and spirits who think the same as he does. Eliminate humanity. So there's people who agree with that program, and or they just focus on one particular aspect, like fluoride in the drinking water. Why, there's lots of good people who see this has a benefit. And it does. Fluoride is a wonderful, wonderful poison. It eliminates bacteria in your mouth. It does reduce tooth decay. But it also does something to the rest of the body. And I always remember about fluoride that different governments have used fluoride to control their captive populations. Like the Nazis did it in World War II to countries which they controlled. Other people have, including the Russians, have put fluoride in the water of their gulags, you know, their prison areas. Yeah, there's lots of things going on. And the drugs, which in the Hebrew is called pharmakia, or that is a part of what we are all dealing with in these years. There's lots to consider. Look, I know there's good things and there's bad, and how do we settle on what is good and what is bad? I think we listen to both sides of the argument and try to come up with a decision. But we have been trusting to a lot of people, and we have been fooled also. I understand that at some point, we need to get some understanding, educate ourselves, and see what these different things mean. Besides the benefits, there is something about the difficult parts of it, problems. And what do? We should look into it and then decide what should we do. It's quite difficult because we have had many, many, many years of good people looking out for us. And there are still so many, many good people in positions of power and authority in our government and in our social systems. But it also happens that there are people who don't have the best for us. They want the easy solutions. They want the payoffs even. All these things are a factor in what we have forced upon us by law, by custom, all of this. So I just say, look, open your eyes and just look. Don't be so concerned that there are people who are looking out for us. Things have changed. Our social order has changed. Our orientation towards God has changed as a country, as a people. Yeah, there's so many people who still want to do good, but what do? We say, oh, if I don't talk to people this way, if I don't do that, if I don't something else, well, I won't have my job anymore. We know that. We know that very well. So many people we know have had that happen. And part of it's right also. It's not that it's wrong, it's just that it's a condition that we have to be aware of and then recognize it and make decisions that are appropriate for that situation. As we look back on history, we see that there have been empires and governments and social institutions, and lately, for decades, it's been the media. All these groups of people have a vested interest in speaking and presenting a picture all in a certain way. And we need to be aware of that, because things are good, things are mostly good, but we just don't want to be fooled. We want to know what really is. We want the truth. And we know that Thomas Jefferson is said to have spoken these words, and I think other people also spoke them. It's a universal concept that the price of freedom, the price of liberty, is eternal vigilance. Now, I think other people have said that, or so similar words, but it's so true. We have to be vigilant. We have to watch out for the things, the influences that want to affect us. And that is the price of liberty. Or today we say freedom. That's the price of freedom. They're similar. But all these things, they play a part in the lives that we live. A lot of things play a part in our lives. The choices we make, the groups we belong to, all these social parts have a influence on the total picture. And don't forget money. Money plays a great big role in our freedom. And that's been something that's been contested for a long, long time. Hundreds of years, the problem with money has existed. Not only that it's limited in its amount, but how is it kept? There have been concepts that have gone back in time to representing your money with something else. Back hundreds of years ago, there was something called a tally stick, which the royalty in England had. It represented a tax payment, and it represented money that somebody was holding. If the two halves of the stick went together, then the representation of that money, of that gold, was true. And if they didn't, well, it was a problem. So, about money, it's something we do have to deal with. We do have to pay attention to. All these things are important to our freedom, to be able to do things, to be able to exercise our freedoms. And one important part is to buy and sell as we see fit. I have talked about money before on different broadcasts. It's quite a big subject, so I'm just going to touch on it a little bit here. One of my favorite things to say is million, billion, and trillion. M, million, B, billion, and T, trillion. And how much that really is, because I put it in terms of seconds. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. 12 days, 32 years, 32,000 years. And then I like to make note that our national debt is $20 trillion. Wow. Well, it wouldn't be the case if we had another form of monetary control of money, and as it represented something. It's supposed to represent precious metal. In fact, precious metal is supposed to be what our money is. Our Constitution says that our money is only to be of a precious or a semi-precious metal. That means it's not supposed to be paper. Now, through paper, we have been able to inflate our currency and have a system of privately owned central banks around the world, and that includes our own Federal Reserve. It is a private corporation. It's a private banking corporation, and they control the money. Congress gave them that authority in 1913. So it is easier to deal with paper bills instead of silver and gold coins. But that is why we've had such huge, huge, huge inflation. As a matter of this discussion, paper money has always inflated. Every time it's been used in history, it has been inflated to the point of collapse. And that's what some people see as a position right now, that our money is getting ready to collapse. It just might be. These things have historical indicators. They have indicators in our own financial world. And all these things we just don't learn about. Who has learned about this in school? Very, very few people. Pretty much we have to be self-educated on that. We have to look into the facts and see what money means, what fiat money means, what currency means. The point is, though, that there is a system in place, and this kind of a system has always collapsed historically. Yes, history teaches this, but it's not taught in school. It's a part of the misinformation that the system conveys. So money, 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 money. Oh, it's quite a thing. What do we do? I don't know that we can actually do anything, but we can be aware of it. We can eliminate debt. That we can always do. And we can have savings in different forms. That's always good. Savings can be money. It can be cash on hand. It can be tools. It can be education, it can be food, it can be gold or silver, that's those iron, or I should say those precious metals, gold and silver. All these things have value. I started to say iron has value, copper has value. All these things have a value that can be traded for, but that little piece of paper that says $1 or $100, it's just a piece of paper. It's supposed to represent value. I don't know. But there is something going on in our stock markets and our money situation of the world. Something happened just a month ago, less than a month ago. There was a big transfer sale of what they call paper silver because it represented 50 million ounces of silver on paper. It didn't actually Well, it's a question of whether it actually existed or not. But in the financial system, it existed as 50 million ounces of silver. That suddenly got sold on the market. When the markets were closed in most cities, and then suddenly the price of silver dropped a few dollars. You can ask why. Why did this happen? And we can guess. We can guess because right about this time, something else happened. The world's second largest silver mine shut down in Guatemala. The government shut it down. It said it was due to environmental considerations. Yeah, it's probably true, but there could have been other things going on here as well. But the whole point is why, at this point in time, this point in history, did 50 million ounces of paper silver get released onto the financial market? Well, it's a question. It's a question. Probably somebody wanted the price of silver to drop so they could buy a lot of it before the price of silver really climbs. Yep, it's a guess. I don't have an inside track. I don't know what those people know who are really involved in finance, high finances, and money. But, you know, we can all look and we can all make guesses. We can see what's reasonable. And that's what I try to do. I try to look at what is reasonable. What does it mean? Why would this happen? And that's the kind of things I talk to you about, because I want you to be prepared and realize that there are reasons to be prepared. One of the things for preparations are for you to get out of debt as quickly as possible. If you can have no debt or just a little, it's a much better position to be in. If money changes, the economy changes. And sure, there are people who say, well, I'll just pay back those dollars with cheaper dollars. And if everything goes the way we think it will go, it's true. But if the economy crashes, there won't be any money changing hands. There won't be any jobs around. And everything changes differently. It's not what we expected. It's a whole new situation. We didn't expect it. And what happens? We end up paying the price. So I have to just urge everyone, pay off your debt and get some savings. Savings in whatever form that makes sense to you. There's so many people who see that our economy is in deep, deep trouble. And the size of our national debt indicates this. We have so much debt in this country. We have personal debt, including credit card debt, debt on our cars, on our houses. That's personal debt. We have business debt and corporate debt. So many people have debt. We have municipal debt. We have state debt. We have our financial government in deep, deep debt. And the expenses aren't stopping. Why, the one expense that seemingly continues and continues is pensions, retirement. That seems to be one of those things that people have talked about. Well, some people have talked about for years because it's going to explode at some point. At some point it will, and we don't know when, but it's just waiting to happen. So if we can see that there is a crash coming, what do we do about this? Now don't forget, the government makes the debt in the name of its citizens. We each one of us citizens, owe the debt. It's not the government that owes, it's the people that owe. And so somehow there is a reckoning, and really we don't know how it will go, but it's probably going to happen. Won't be easy. So get as stable as you can in your financial life, and of course in your personal life, and more than that, yet stable in your spiritual life, and that means a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you have a chance, peacefully communicate your desires with government and tell them that you really don't like the debt and you don't want to see one more penny put into debt. Because who's going to pay for that? We might pay for that, we people who are adults today, or our grandchildren might pay for it. Children and grandchildren, they're the ones who are really going to be stuck with our debt. It's going to be so miserable. Look at the countries right now where these things have happened. There's a lot of them. Greece, Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, Peru have all had problems, and some of them are current. Mexico's had, Italy. I mean, it's everywhere. All these countries, even England back in the 70s was having these problems with their money being devalued. And that's what would happen here. Our dollar would be devalued. Probably it means a domestic dollar and an international dollar. And probably those dollars would then be converted to the IMF money. I'll have to think what that's called. FDR, SDRs. So all those things is for our consideration, and we have to think about what would we do in case of an emergency, one that really hurts us. We need supplies. We need some things. We need things that are just plain needed for life. And I, of course, think of water and food, because those are the most basic. Gasoline sure comes in handy. And very often we need medical things also. Oh, you just think about it. What would you need if you couldn't drive to the store? Water. Water. Don't forget water. I've heard about survival people saying, oh, well, you can live 3 days without water. Well, let me tell you, I've been without water for a day. You don't want to be without water for a day. It makes you weak. It makes you not think as well. It makes you not able to do things physically as well. The government says 1 gallon per person per day is what you need. So store water. Store water. If we ever have an earthquake and our water lines break, oh, we are in trouble. And of course, we think of food. That's what most of us think of. Food. Let's get some food because water's taken care of. But food, yes. All those things, you get to figure out what it is. Tools. Just think about it. And if you want some ideas, go to past episodes, past broadcasts of this show, Christ Today, beginning on January 7th of 2017. I did cover a fair number of these ideas and issues about what to do if. Because I think about Jesus Christ, and while he is important, he's absolutely the most important thing. But to share Jesus, we have to be healthy and alive to have it work well, and so do other people, healthy and alive. So I think of those things that are necessary to life. So if you do go back to that broadcast of January 7th of this year, just go to www.christtoday.org, and that is lowercase and no spaces. You will see KKXX and Christ Today with me, John Stephenson. So click on a date, see what you think. There's so many of those broadcasts are different, so see which one you like. Skip through it. It's easy to do with one of those smartphones. And see which one you like. See which ones are talking about what you'd like. There's all sorts of things. But you have to see what appeals to you. There are a number of similarities over several of them. And, well, just look into it. I have plenty of guests on, too. There's some very interesting people. They talk about their relationship with God and what they're doing in the world. Have a listen. There's good people. So have a listen to ChristToday.org. And thank you. Now remember, surprises do happen. Surprises happen all the time. They happen in our day-to-day life. They happen with our region or our city or even with countries. There's sometimes countries go to war or have war brought to them. All these things are reasons to prepare, to have some things on hand. But there's some things that everybody needs, and you get to figure out what they are. Or go to ChristToday.org, and you'll hear some ideas. There's no doubt that Christ, Jesus Christ, is your greatest need. That is so important because it is our relationship with Christ that moves us to have all these things like goodwill towards men. We can shine God's light through Jesus Christ for others to see. And for that to happen, we have to be alive, and they have to be alive. And it helps to show kindness, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. So it helps to have something physical to share also. If a person's in need, they might need some food. It's good to have food to share. So think about those things. Yes, the spiritual part is ever so much more important, but there's many people on the radio who talk about it, and there's not so many people who talk about the physical part of preparedness. There's not so many people who talk about money in a spiritual way, because that is our primary part, is to be spiritual people. So I talk about these things, and I know there's some people who say, how come you talk about these things like preparedness on Christ Today? But I can tell you, to me, they are so linked, so intertwined, and you'll have to see that too. Or you do, or you wouldn't be listening. And I surely do thank everyone for listening. Thank you for listening. Because we all want to pursue what is true, what is right. We want to pursue things in love. And love. Sometimes we just have to reorient towards love. We think of things like a child's love. We remember children. Speaking of love and children, how do we treat children? We have to remember that children or people who are in great difficulty, they view us as big people, even as kind of like giants, you know? And we, to them, to children, we are huge people. So you want to make sure that you teach those bases of respect and love to children, so that they grow up with love and respect. And that's a part of what we do as Christians. We show mutual love and respect. And that means to children and to each other. That's what the Christian life is about. It's a relationship with joy and with love. That's what we want to have an orientation to. So keep this in mind. Think about love. Think about love being practiced. Love with wisdom. Now, it is important that we love with wisdom because some things are inappropriate. As we humans see the condition of love, we have to use God's wisdom to understand and to determine how things go. Don't forget that John 15:15-12. And this Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Ooh, that just gets me. What a lot of love. And that's what we are to look towards. That is loving one another as he loved us. Now, we can think about this, and we can see how to do it the best way we know how. We seek his truth. We seek his understanding, and we try to do things in the way that He tells us to do. After all, that's how we show that we are His. We do what He wants. And praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's the Ephesians 6, one of my favorite passages. Supplication. We know what prayer is. It's talking and listening to God. Supplication means to have reverence and adoration, which means to adore, and even a sense of urgency as we pray. Pray to God and listen to God. There's so much we don't know and so much we can do. But what we want to do is pay attention to what God thinks, the mind of Christ. You know, you've heard of that. And we want to pray for that. We want to see that we can show it to people. Love and joy. We practice. And eventually we get better and better. Life is full of struggles, and we try. We attempt to be holy as God sees holiness. Eventually we get better and better. It takes a while. And I don't know of anybody who just jumps right in and is holy, but we get better and better, and we keep trying. Demonstrate His love to the world. Demonstrate by who we are. Oh, there's so much in this. We just have to keep trying and keep working on getting it as close to righteous as we can. And we never will be, but we can try. Not righteous like God is righteous anyway. Well, we keep looking at the world. We keep seeing the things that are going on around it. The Gospel of John talks about this. In other places too, I think Romans, and talks about we are in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of it. That means we shine like, let Christ shine through us. And that's what we want to do. And it's all right to talk about these things. It's all right to talk about God to people, God through Jesus Christ. And we can talk about things that are just on people's mind anyway. You know, there's so many people who talk about money all the time. And money is okay, too. It's a part of life. It's a part of the Gospels. You know that. It's one of those things that Jesus talked about a lot. I know I've talked to financial people about those things, and I listen to financial people, and I listen about the problems that there are in the system. I like to hear about these things because of my history. And I listen to Ron Paul sometimes, he speaks. And there are so many financial people who see that a crisis is soon coming. In fact, many of them call it a collapse of our system. Banking, it would be really, really difficult, or it will be, however you want to see it. And that's the thing. I think there's a possibility of it happening. So use your logic, use your common sense, and see what makes sense to you to do. What if this were to happen? We can see that there's several financial people of well-recognized statures. I know one of them is that ex-congressman, retired congressman, I should say, Ron Paul. He was involved in all sorts of finance and committees for this and that. He should know a whole lot. And then there's other financial people like James Rickard. He has lots of financial experience with the higher level of finance people. Wow. Robert Kiyosaki, he wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And so many other people, but these are ones that are likely to be well known. And they talk about our financial system coming into disarray or even a collapse. And these things happening as early as this year. So Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening to what smart people have to say. And I'm saying, look out, it just might happen. It just might happen. Now, maybe it is the start. Maybe it's not the collapse. But we have other things going on, too. We have the 2018 year, which is the year that certain big money interests have indicated is going to be a year of change. They have talked about this with The Economist, the big financial magazine from England. It is worldwide, and there's just indicators that something is going to happen, a great big change. And so, what do I say? Look out. Something just might hit us. Might hit you. Might hit me. And have our entire financial system crash. Oh, it's hard to believe. How can this be true? It's hard for me to believe. But because we've always lived with a system that's done well and taken care of us. But we have a fundamental problem of spending too much money. So all these things are going on. And what do I say? Look out. We don't know what'll happen. If the system does collapse, we have all sorts of things that could break down, from food, from water, to electricity and the telephone breaking down, and some of it will probably turn to violence. And what'll happen? It's not that I know, but I do know Matthew chapter 24. It talks about what's coming before Jesus arrives. There's so many things. And, oh, we want to be prepared. That's what I say. Think, plan, and do. Prepare for that just in case. We have a big unknown in the future. There's all sorts of things that could happen. So get your week of supplies or your month of supplies or your year of supplies. And don't forget that Yellowstone thing. If that happens, why, they say 6 years. It could be 6 years without a good crop. Wow. I'm telling you, I don't know what to say about it, except there are indications of problems all over the place. So do something. Have 3 days of food and water? Sure. 3 weeks? Sure. That's all something you get to decide. But think about it. Think. And remember, if you want my little pamphlet on natural disaster preparedness, just write me and please include a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I would love to send it to you. It's something to get you to think about what just might happen. Write to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I hope that something will inspire you to get more thoughts about what to do for the just in case. Because we don't know what'll happen. All we see is indicators and possibilities. So I'm so glad that you're listening. Thank you for listening. And if there's something that you are curious about, look at the internet. It is on there at the www.christtoday.org. You can hear these messages again. So I want to ask for God's blessing for you, that God may be with you and you may be with God. And thank you for listening to Christ Today.